Hello, everyone. Good
Hello.
day. My name is Sammy. This is Tough Conversations. I'll be your host. And I've got a guest here who I respect his opinion. His name is Analyst Canis. Welcome on board, Analyst Canis. How have you been?
Thank you very much. I've been very fine and happy to be here. Let's get into it. It's what we love to do, so let's get into it.
Exactly. This is episode one on Tough Conversations. That's the channel. I hope you guys like, subscribe, and, you know, become a very, very good returning member on this community. So what we're discussing today is Marcus Rashford. What can he offer to FC Barcelona in the 2025-2026 campaign? To begin with, I think we have to establish some facts. Marcus Rashford was signed on a loan deal, a one-year loan deal to Barcelona. He was signed on a free loan with an option to buy. And I believe the option should be around 30 to 35 million euros, which should be exercised somewhere in July 2026. There's also a 5 million termination clause, just like there was a 5 million termination clause for Jordan Sancho when on his move to Chelsea. Chelsea had to pay 5 million to Manchester United to terminate Jordan Sancho's clause. So, analyst,
yeah,
I'd like you to start with this. Explain in detail the player Marcus Rashford is. Like, who is he? What can he bring? What do we know about Marcus Rashford?
First of all, for a team, I'm going to talk about Rashford, especially in Barcelona context, because he could have been, you can look at it through another lens. If he was going to, say, Real Madrid or you can actually afford to, you know, spend on another left winger or another player. So with us, it's about cutting costs and assessing the profile that fits culturally, that fits tactically, that also fits how the manager wants to, you know, keep his dressing room. So for me, I think Rashford is a very, 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 very big talent. There's no question about his talent. I have never been in doubt of what Rashford can do with the ball and what he can bring to the team. Rashford is a left winger. He's predominantly a left winger. However, he can. He's a player that can. His profile cuts across the front line, so he can be a center forward as well as a bit of a right winger. But everyone knows that his optimal zone of influence would be the left wing. So he is a player in his prime who is worthy of 40 goals and assists. He can take on players. He can be explosive. His striking prowess is very good. And coming to Barcelona, he gives us that. We had a problem last season in terms of how do we rotate. If you're going to cut off Lewandowski, 37 now, 37 by August. So first week of August, I think. So if you're going to cut off Lewandowski's minutes, you're going to use Ferran Torres. So for Rafinha, who do you use? For Lamine Yamal, who do you use? So Rashford gives us that in the sense that when you play him at the left wing for Rafinha, on the day you want to sub Lamine Yamal or give Lamine Yamal rest, you can move Rafinha to left wing, who is originally a left winger.
A right wing.
So you can also move him to that right wing. So when he plays there, then Rashford can start. But even last season, that people are saying that Rashford was not good, that we can talk about his good season, that his best season or the best he has given so far, when you look at it at this point, would be two or three seasons ago.
Oh yeah,
even last season, Rashford's start. Yeah, but Rashford's start last season was about 19 to 20 goals and assists. So that's a very big thing to look at. And he was playing in a team when he moved to Aston Villa, and when he was in Manchester United, we cannot guarantee them 60% of the possession averagely across all games. We cannot compare the kind of chances they created. I mean, off the bench, Fermin, Lopez, Ferran Torres, they both had double digits G/A, and we cannot beat our chest and say that these guys are way better ball strikers than Rashford. A lot of things are at stake for him. There is something that it's very common with players. We've seen this so many times. When they have something to prove, say, okay, next year is the World Cup, 2026. Rashford played it. Are you going to say that Rashford does not want to go to the World Cup? Does he not have something to prove to Thomas Tuchel? Okay, if people are saying that he's finished, does he not have something to prove? Look, interestingly, even when players are done and you want to push them out like that, most times they are not happy with you. They want to hurt you. We've seen that with Suarez. At the time, Barcelona wanted Suarez to go. The only problem I had with that move was because he was moved to Atletico Madrid. He would have moved to Juventus or something. So he wanted to prove something. And he, because the spirit was willing and the flesh was weak, he was able to do that just for a season. And after that, well, he was still done and dusted. He was shipped off still. So, but his first season in Atletico Madrid was very nice. So I am just concerned about that when it comes to Rashford. Where is he mentally at the moment? What does he think? What other businesses does he have? Is he still hungry? And it has nothing to do with age. Some players at professional level can give 5 years or 6 years and they are done. So we can't be saying, well, you know, Messi and Ronaldo and the rest, or Luka Modric or Lewandowski, they are 37, they are still playing, some of them are still hungry. So it's about, it's an individualistic thing. Where is he mentally? If he proves all that in 1 year and we shell out the 30 or 35 AM and sign him, what's up? Long term, what's up? But for short term, this particular season, I'm all for Rashford.
Right. So you made very, very good points there, because my own opinion is Rashford will have a good season if he finds a way to take minutes off Lamine Yamal and Rafinha. That will be a good season for Marcus Rashford, in my own opinion. How does he do this? Because last season, we had a scenario where Rafinha played 57 games. He started 53 of those games. He had about 4,649 minutes in total, which rounded up to about 5,290 minutes across the season.
Yeah.
Lamine Yamal, that's one flank. On the other flank, Lamine Yamal played 55 games. He started 51 of those, rounding up to 4,532 minutes in total, which could be 5,190s. And Barcelona as a football club played 60 matches across the season. So if Lamine Yamal is playing 51 out of 60, Rafinha is playing 52 out of 60, what then happens to the supporting cast? That is where I feel Marcus Rashford and Rooney Badji, at the time of recording today, Rooney Badji has already scored his first professional goal for Barcelona, even though it's not an official game, you know, but it's still something. Now, Lewandowski last season, at age 37, we must put that there, he played 52 matches, had 47 starts, 3,905 minutes in total, which rounded up to 4,490 minutes. So if we played 60 matches last season, Lewandowski played at least 44 of those 90s. We can't have that. Now, the person who Marcus Rashford is coming to replace last season, Ansu Fati, a direct replacement, be it on the left wing, because both of them are left wingers, they are right footed, they both have an eye for goal. Well, they are they are basically, you know, skin folk. And I would say Ansu Fati had 11 matches played, of which he started just 3, and he had 303 minutes across an entire season. of a team that scored 152 goals, and Sofati scored none. He assisted one, and he had 390s out of 60 games played. That's not good enough. That's simply not good enough. So I understand where Hansi Flick is coming from, where he says, or when Deco made Deco had an interview and he said the most important positions for strengthening this summer would be on the flanks, and not just on the flanks, the fullback areas as well. But unfortunately, it looks as if we're not going to be strengthening our fullback positions. But that's a discussion for another session. For today, we're discussing Marcus Rashford. Marcus Rashford last season, when he played for both Aston Villa and Manchester United, he finished with 11 goals, 9 assists, played 41 matches. And the season prior to that, at Manchester United, under Ten Hag, he played 43 matches. And he scored 8 goals and assisted 6 times. Now, Marcus Rashford's best season, like his actual best season as a footballer, came in the 2022-2023 season. And as you can recall, we were also a victim of that season, Barcelona, when we dropped down to the Europa League. Marcus Rashford scored near post against Marc-André ter Stegen. Beautiful goal, but another discussion for another season. Another session, because that is one of the reasons why we have signed Joan Garcia, you know, a protector at the back. But today we're discussing Rashford. Like I said, his best season ever was 22-23, where he scored 30 goals, had 12 assists, and played 56 matches. 56 matches. That goes to show you he was fit, he was ready, he was in tune with whatever the coach had in store for him. And If you want to look at the breakdown of those, you know, those numbers at that particular time, he played mostly off the left and he scored 17 of those goals off the left out of the 30 goals. The second position he primarily played in that season was through the middle, where he scored 11 times. And Marcus Rashford actually scored twice off the right, which means across the front line, Marcus Rashford can be useful. But as for this discussion, I think Marcus Rashford would most likely be played on the left flank and through the middle. Now, if his best season can be rediscovered by Hansi Flick, where he scored 17 through the left or on the left and through the middle 11, we would be expecting him to take minutes off Rafinha and Lewandowski. Bearing in mind that last season, Lewandowski scored 42 at 37 years of age. His replacement had about 25 goals and assists in Ferran Torres, and that one had just 19 starts. So it's kind of, of course, Rafinha had the season of his life where he had 55 goals and assists and, you know, went off the rack. We're talking about Ballon d'Or contender. Rafinha, yeah. I will never believe watching the lad at Leeds coming here to Barcelona, and he's dropping 55 goals and assists under Hansi Flick, playing primarily off the left. But obviously, he played on the right, played through the middle some of those games. But primarily, he was playing off the left, which is off position. And he dropped 55 goals and assists. So, it's quite credible. So, if we're bringing Marcus Rashford into this discussion, what positions do you really see him contributing from?
For me, I don't see him being drawn to the right wing. It's mostly going to be from the left wing. The only reason there would be a Ferran Torres and they would start Rashford from the center forward is if Ferran Torres does not turn up. And Ferran Torres is Ferran Torres. He would always be a player that has eye for goals. He'll always be a player that can get in behind the defenders. So we cannot forget that guy is there. It's up to Flick how he wants to. Does he want to play the both of them and rest two players, two of his starters at the same time? It's up to Hansi Flick. But the position, I would say, Rashford, and I don't see, I've seen a lot of posts that are saying Rafinha through the middle, Rashford through the right, left wing, you know, so Rafinha is going to be like a 10 for us, while we have Pedri and Frankie just behind him. I do not really see that. If we had bought Nico, then we would say that he's not a player that wants to sit on the bench, even though you can do it and say it depends on the game dynamics. When you have a low block, you want someone that, you want a cheat code, you want someone that can unlock the low block, so you need like someone who is good 1v1. And if you have 1v1 at your left and another 1v1 at your right, Lamine Yamal, then they will struggle to double team. Yeah, they'll struggle to double team also. But now it's not Nico. We have a player who would be willing and accept to come off the bench. I don't see Rashford frowning or grumbling coming off the bench. So I mean, it's going to be
Rashford was the one who came to us just like Nico.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
I
so they have two different players, and Nico is just like still, he's not even hit that prime. All we are saying is that Nico can do this, Nico can do that, but Rashford just is coming to prove something. He's the one who always wanted us, so he's going to be left wing for me, predominantly left wing.
Predominantly left wing. I think I mostly agree with that. But you see, when the season ended, I was of the opinion that I think we need another Lamine Yamal on the left. My opinion for saying that was, There were several games last season, especially of course the biggest game of our season, Inter Milan, over at San Siro, where we simply did not have any threat on the left. And I just felt like, imagine there was, you know, a ball handler on the left where, you know, switches can be made, someone who can hold on to the touchline, beat his man, put crosses in. I know we were missing Lewandowski, or the Lewandowski that played in that second leg, well, shouldn't have even come on in the first place. That was Hansi Flick's thinking. I don't know why he did that, but that's by the way. My point right now is, if we did sign Nico Williams, a player like Nico Williams, or, you know, players that were coming through the academy, like Jan Vigili, who is basically a touchline winger, what would be the dynamics of the team? Do we really see, of course, we're discussing Marcus Rashford because Marcus Rashford is who we signed, but we cannot delude ourselves into thinking that he was first or even second or even third choice. There was Nico Williams in discussion, there was Luis Diaz in contention, and there were several meetings and discussions about Rafael Leão, who I think is your own first choice. My first choice, obviously, was Nico Williams because of the bond, the team chemistry, how much he knows, you know, the players on the team. From Baldé, he'll be playing with directly, to Pedri, he assisted versus France, to Lamine Yamal winning the Euros last year, to even Ferran Torres up front. And Lewandowski is the kind of player who would have enjoyed Nico Williams because of that ability to cross on the left and on the right. And the lad had, you know, he could use both feet at will. Pace in behind, you know, someone who can dribble, somebody who can basically play mid. Basically another Lamine Yamal, a budget Lamine Yamal on the left. But this is a Marcus Rashford who, on his teams, even Marcus Rashford in his best season was averaging 38 touches of the ball per 90 minutes. You would not say 38 touches of the ball is someone who will stick to the left flank, you know, wait for the ball there, when the ball comes, beat his man and run into the box. Does that, I think 38 touches of the ball in your best season, that's your best season, I don't think is indicative of a primary ball handler. Unlike Lamine Yamal, who averaged 68 touches of the ball last season, and Rafinha, despite not playing on the flanks, averaged about 55 touches of the ball. So I really wanted to know your opinion. What will be the dynamics with let's say Rafinha through the middle in some smaller games? I wouldn't want Rafinha to be my primary number 10. I I mean, I've been one of the only Barcelona fans I know that have spoken about playing a 4-3-3, where we introduce Gavi, we have Pedri, we have Frenkie, or we have Casado as his lone pivot, and having a touchline left winger who is right-footed, and Lamine Yamal on the right, who is left-footed, and then anybody can play the false nine or the number nine as Lewandowski or even Dani Olmo. That would be my ideal choice. But a scenario where, you know, Rafinha is playing through the middle, Lamine Yamal is on the right, Rashford is on the left, and up top is possibly Lewandowski. What would be the dynamics of that team? How do you see that team, you know, functioning, basically?
Well, to be very honest, Fancy Flick's first season were all over Nico, and a part of me strongly believes that if we got Nico that first season, we wouldn't sign Dani Olmo. I still feel like, because we could see when the season started, there was no Olmo, and on top of that, Fermi Lopez, who has just returned from the Olympics, and the Olympics happened after the Euro. So we would see that Flick immediately slotted Rafinha to be the 10 for the team. So a part of me still feels like
Rafinha was the number 10.
A part of me still feels like he wants Rafinha to be the 10 if we had Nico. And so if that's the truth, then it's only a thought, but if that's the truth, then he wants someone that can keep the width. Rafinha is just a right winger on paper. He doesn't stick to the position. He has a kind of freedom that other people don't have. He floats, he goes to everywhere to combine, especially the central combination. He comes to the midfield, he does one, two with them, he receives pass, he offers pass, he looks for spaces and tries to score as much goals as he can or have a direct impact with the final ball. Rashford in this team is going to be same. Unless Flick does not know his profile, which I doubt so much, Flick definitely would know his profile even more than I do, or more than we can ever want to think of. So to keep the width with Rashford, it means that you're going to generate 1v1 situations. And yes, he's a guy that on his day, he could make something with his space and beat players. But to often isolate him so that he can generate 1v1 situation, I mean, just being exactly the same thing you do at the right wing for Rashford, I think that's not the best way to use Rashford at the moment.
You just spoke about space, and I really wanted to touch about that, because you know, watching football in England, having watched the Premier League for over at least two decades now, you can attest to the fact that there's usually more space in behind, especially for a team where Marcus Rashford has played for the past decade. He has played under managers who would, I would say, prefer to play without the ball. That's why, you know, somebody who can score 30 goals is having, 38 touches of the ball. So he's coming to La Liga, to a team that averages 65% of the ball. Where are those spaces? Where are those spaces going to come out from? Like, there's going to be limited space in behind. So how can Rashford adapt to this? Is he a malleable player? How can Hansi Flick? Because I mean, the reports came out that Hansi Flick personally went to Deco's office, told him put a call across to, you know, Rashford's agents, get me this lad. So Hansi Flick definitely has made a side note about the player Marcus Rashford is. So you just spoke about spaces, or not hanging on to the flanks, or, you know, waiting, trying to use him the same way we use Lamine Yamal, when he's not that kind of profile. Now, it begs the question. He's coming to La Liga, where we saw Felipe Coutinho, when he came to La Liga, he could not beat his fullback. He really could not beat his fullback. So, it now exposed Felipe Coutinho as not a winger. And then, it it was a funny discourse around Felipe Coutinho, because the discourse was he was signed as a Iniesta replacement, and then it was mixed up again, and they said no, he was signed as a Neymar replacement on the left, a Neymar replacement that cannot beat his fullback. That you are asking for trouble. With Marcus Rashford, there is space. Pure, like, that's one of the fastest players. I mean, Rashford coming through the ranks and Mbappe coming through the ranks, I thought they were the same player. I used to think they were the same player. Like, I basically thought, you know, Rashford is a less talented Mbappe, basically. But it begs the question now, coming to La Liga where you do not see enough space, like it happened to Rafinha in his first season, even though he contributed, I think, 16 or 17 goals and assists in his first season. Most of his goals and assists came up when we're really, really, you know, when we really, really needed goals and assists to win games and win La Liga under Xavi's first full season. That's in the 2022-2023 season. I really need to know, how would Rashford adapt to this lack of space that he has played primarily his entire career, having space to run into, you know, running behind and all of that? How would he adapt?
The thing is, Rashford, we should have at the back of our mind that Rashford is not Saka, he's not Lamine Yamal, he's not Vinicius, he's not, I'm speaking of people that are playmakers every day of their life. Every single day of the week, they are playmakers. Twice on Sunday and Saturday, they are playmakers. Yeah. Rashford does not play to fit. Even in Barcelona, his number of touches can increase because that would be demanded of him, but he would